Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, you're hearing our live broadcast, and we would like to interact with you. If you have a question, something you'd like to talk about, we want to hear from you right now. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial, both in Canada and the U.S. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Thanks, Bob. This week we've been talking about the fact that as believers in Christ, we're no longer in the flesh, but we're in the Spirit. So the realm of our life has changed. We were in the flesh. That was our location before. That was our realm of life. But that was our realm of life as lost people, as sinners, folks who were dead in Christ. But through faith in Jesus Christ, that has changed. We're now in the Spirit. Now, here's the good news. The Spirit of God lives in us. And I love this passage in Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 13. It says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." So you have received the gift of God's Spirit. And the gift of God's Spirit is a seal. It's a mark. It's a mark upon you, which means that you're the real deal, that you are a genuine, authentic child of God, not because anything that you've done, but because of the work of Christ through this new birth you've experienced through faith in him. So if you get accused, if you start to think negative thoughts about your identity in Christ, just remember this. You have been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You have been marked out as one who belongs to Christ. You really do belong to Christ. You've been approved. You are the genuine, authentic, real deal. Yeah. You are a child of God. You are a part of this people of God, the church, the body of Jesus Christ. That's good news, guys. And I go back to this time and time and time again. Yeah. And I think it's an important truth for us to understand as we, you know, contemplate matters such as the mark of the beast. Will I ever receive the mark of the beast? Well, no. I've already received the mark of God, the promised Holy Spirit. And that gives us the assurance, the confidence, the certainty that we need to live out who we are right here in this world that we live in today. It's good news, isn't it?
Yeah. And you know, the other thing I notice about this is it says that, you know, after listening to the message of the truth, that we, you know, believed and then we were sealed. So there's some folks that say you only have eternal security if you were picked ahead of time and if God had rigged it. But this is actually saying you can have both. You can have the choice to receive him, the choice to hear and believe, and then afterwards you're sealed, which means you're safe and secure. So it's interesting how Calvinists and Arminians, you know, they Arminians, they argue over this sort of thing. And you know, apparently in some schools of thought, you can only have eternal security if God pre-picked you. But what we see here in Ephesians is the opposite, a beautiful mixture of, hey, there was a choice. You got to hear the gospel. You got to choose to believe in response. You got to receive Christ. And when you did, at that point, he sealed you and made you secure forever.
Yeah. And that's what God predestined, isn't it?
Yes.
That those who believed are going to be sealed in Christ. That was God's plan. And we fall into that plan when that gospel message captures our heart, captures our mind, and we believe. And that's how this works. And you're right, Andrew. We just try to become theologians instead of just resting in the simplicity of Christ himself. We argue over all of these, quote, finer points, and we end up dividing over these things. And I think this is a passage that really should unify us, should really just make us rejoice together and celebrate together as fellow heirs of Jesus Christ, all who have been marked out by him as people who belong to the King. That's good news. Well, Andrew, it's always good to have you on the broadcast.
Yes,
and,
indeed.
Thanks for being available today. We love your keen insights, and I know our listeners love hearing the clarity that you bring to these microphones each and every week. So thank you, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, my pleasure. Yeah.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. We have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. So, Bob, Richard, and Andrew, June 30th, end of our fiscal year, is this Friday. So we've rightly been saying, as we've been saying, we have a way to go before meeting our budgeted obligations, and we need everybody to step up and help if you can. Now, on Monday, Bob, you mentioned the calculation that we needed $79,500 to meet the need and ask 100 of our faithful listeners to step up and be a part of that, to make a gift of $795. Now, Bob, you and I pledged to be the first two to do that, and we needed 98 others to join with us for that $795 gift. So we hope that we've heard from many of those by now, and if not, we still have until Friday.
We do, and we have heard from quite a number of folks. We've been making calls. Other folks have been calling us saying, hey, I want to be a part. I want to help Basic Gospel meet this target, and so count me in. Mm-hmm. And so the gifts have ranged from $100 up to $2,000 and $2,500. And,
wow.
You know, that's I do simple math. So I divide things by 100, and I come up with a figure. But, you know, I know that's not how it works. That's not how it pans out. You know, folks give what they can give, and they do it joyfully and cheerfully. And, you know, as everybody does what they can, then we see these things met. So we are pleased to announce that, you know, we've had basically 11 people step up. It's more than that. But we have about $70,000 left to raise. So momentum is continuing. So we want you to get on that momentum bandwagon to make a contribution today. Help us reach that target by June 30th.
Absolutely. And to say thanks for your help, we're going to send you our new CD or DVD, whichever you desire. It's called The Real You. It's all about your identity as a child of God. Click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742. You can use that number anytime, day or night, 844-322-2742. Or, as I said, go to basicgospel.net, click donate, or The Real You link. We hope to hear from you like today.
Yes, thank you, Bob. Well, we're going to go to Fayetteville, North Carolina, and talk with Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Yes, good afternoon. It's so good to hear you again. And I'm going to support your station, too, and your broadcast, because it needs to be out there. And I have a question. I'm Christian, 66 years old, and I've been born in the South and living in the South most of my life. And what I found out, and I helped, you know, integrate a school when I was in high school, it seemed like we have so much racism within people, and seem like it's prevalent, especially among Christian people. And we don't have that dialogue, because sometimes I see people so adamant against abortion, but yet they can see people in the world who are human beings and Christians, and then they act as if they have no concern for those kind of people. And I'm trying to understand. I know, like Bob George used to say a lot of times, people profess Christianity, but they're not possessed by Christianity. And that might be part of the reason, but I'm just curious, and I know, because we don't ever, you know, have that dialogue.
Yeah. Well, you know, Andrew, first of all, we're in Ephesians, and I think it's no coincidence you've got this great question, and here we are talking about a unifying message of Jews and Gentiles coming together, and it is that gospel message that unifies us. I mean, you know, we got a lot of people talking about let's be tolerant, let's change our vocabulary, let's use different words. But I think that you've pinpointed there in that, you know, the only real unifier is Jesus himself. And unfortunately, you know, Christians walk after the flesh sometimes just like the world does, and they harbor attitudes and they say to the Lord, no, I'll get that mindset renewed later. No, thank you, sir. I'm doing just fine. And we end up harboring resentment and bitterness and attitudes like racism. But, you know, ultimately the only answer is to find something that unifies us beyond a country of origin, beyond a physical race, beyond the color of our skin, beyond socioeconomic status. And so instead of just changing our vocabulary or trying to pretend like, you know, everything's fine by using different words, This all has to come from the heart, and the only way it can come from the heart is with a convincing philosophy change at the heart level. And I think that's what the gospel gives us. It gives us an opportunity to look at each other not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, and to recognize that whether Jew or Gentile or from this nation or that nation or of this race or that race, we are all one in Jesus Christ. And the same thing goes for gender. I mean, you could say Christians have really flubbed that one up. We should be the ones who are championing the value of females and males alike. And the only way we can do that is through the gospel. So guys, I think, again, we're back to recognizing that Jesus has the market cornered on real agape love, and it doesn't come through some sort of generic legislated tolerance, but instead from a heart level when we recognize people according to the Spirit.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think a lot of times, too, Andrew, it takes some courage to break through those barriers. And stand side by side with somebody that's different, whether it's skin color, whether it's, from a different country, different culture, different language, that sort of thing. It takes some courage to cross over those lines. And so often we don't do it because we're afraid of what other people may think about us. I think Paul's comments in Galatians chapter 1, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. I think those words are very applicable as far as racism is concerned, as far as prejudice is concerned. A lot of times we're afraid to cross over and love somebody that's different from us because we're afraid of what people are going to think about us, what they're going to say about us. That's exactly what Peter did. I mean, he was eating with the Gentiles, a group of people that his Jewish law prohibited him from associating with at all. And yet the gospel compelled him to sit at their table. And then when the Jews from Jerusalem came, the Judaizers came, man, he got up from that table as fast as he possibly could. Yeah. And hung out with the Judaizers. Why? Because he was afraid of what they were going to think. Yeah. About him. He became a hypocrite, and many people followed him in his hypocrisy, even Barnabas. And so we have to realize, wait a minute, the gospel speaks something different. And I'm going to have the courage and the guts to step out and step into that gospel and love people as Christ has loved me, as I depend upon and abide in the love of Jesus Christ. And we've seen one of the things that attracted me to this ministry years ago, 35 years ago, was the fact that wherever we went, whenever we did a conference, whatever the population mix of that particular city, that particular community was, that was the makeup of the audience that was there, of the group that was there. Well, what does that tell you? It tells you that the gospel, the love of Jesus Christ, the power of his death, burial, and resurrection is the only force on earth that can pull us together and allow us to fellowship as one. Despite of our differences, it's the one unifying reality that we can step into and experience. And so I think we need to get this gospel message out. If we want to see racism, kind of broken down, we're not going to see that really happen out there in the world, but we're going to see it with people who are in Christ. And when folks look at that and see how they love one another, how we love one another, then they're going to step back and say, there's something authentic about that Christian faith. There's something real going on that these people who were so different, who were so, on opposite ends of the spectrum, have come together and are actually loving one another in Christ Jesus. So it's the gospel that's going to bring us together. And Andrew, thank you for bringing this question to the table. It's a vitally important question today.
I heard what you said. You want to make this comment right quick. But see, the majority of the people that seem like are doing it, I understand what you're saying about the gospel, are Christian people. And they've been doing it for a long time. We talk about Christianity and talk about what we're supposed to do, but those people, a lot of us don't do it because we have so many different issues and we just don't see it. So I understand what you're saying, but we have to go from a process of speaking this to living it. And the majority of what I've seen is not living it. I just want to thank you for your time. Appreciate the question and the dialogue. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you're welcome, Andrew.
You know, guys, just one more thought on that. I think Andrew's right. And the difference is, you know, there's a lot of Christians. A Christian is a nice label, and there's millions of people that would use the label. But the question is, you know, where are we each getting our identity from? And I think that's what's so great about this ministry, Basic Gospel. The reason I serve on the board with you guys and want to support everything that you're doing is because you're proclaiming that we have an identity that is deeper than race, an identity that is deeper than our nation, as great as those things can be. And God's given us those things as a gift. We have a deeper identity, and that identity needs to be proclaimed. And so even though the label Christian, a lot of people carry that, are we really proclaiming the depths of our new identity in Christ? And, you know, that's what I love about Basic Gospel. I think it is a unifying message, but you don't find it everywhere, do you?
No, you don't. Really don't.
Yeah, well, in 2 Corinthians, it says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And I think as we come to Christ and receive his life in us, and it should be a new viewpoint. We should see things differently. And so, friends, I'll just say it directly to you. If you have become a new creation through faith in Jesus Christ, you have a new identity. And understanding that identity in Christ can dramatically impact the way you live your life. We ask you, have you made that discovery? Well, in this new CD series from Basic Gospel, you can get to know the real you. It's our gift to you this month. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel. So click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742 and truly get to know the real you. It will make an incredible difference in your life. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or just click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, yesterday we had a wonderful question from a sister in Kansas named Kristen, and it was, as I said, it was a great question. Today we have a new question from her, and guys, before I play this, I'll just say I love this call.
Well, this is Kristen again, and I'm calling from Kansas. I hear you on Bot Radio, and I'm calling again because Alistair Begg is on now saying that, you know, your sins have separated you from God. So I guess my second question is, I mean, I can always find some sin, and that's why I've got the anxiety in my stomach. But he's using it in terms of it's the world now is like that, but yet I took it, and I've done that with Bible verses. It's like I can find in there that I'm no good because, you know, they took away Saul's, and Samson didn't know when God took away himself. Do our sins separate us? And well, I mean, I would think, I don't know. Well, I think you guys have got my question. I thank you, and I'm sorry that it's not clear and short. I'm sorry. Love you both. Love you. I mean, all. That whole ministry is beautiful, and I appreciate it.
See why I love that call.
That's right. I love that call as well. Yeah. You know, that is a big deal. Do our sins separate us from God? And there's a lot of people who believe that. There's a lot of people who teach that. But is that true of us who are children of God, who have been made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ, who live in a new covenant in which God, one of the promises that he's made in this new covenant is that he remembers our sins no more, and where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin. So can our sins today separate us as children of God from God? Does that make sense?
Of course it doesn't. It doesn't make any sense at all, does it? I mean, you know, you look at Paul's declaration, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And he, you know, has a litany of things there that cannot separate us. And even, you know, death and the demonic forces, angels, anything, nothing out there, including the power of sin, the enemy. I mean, the fact that you're tempted. Can you imagine God says, okay, well, the moment you're tempted and the moment that you give in some, well, I'm out of here and I'll come back when you get your act together. I mean, that would mean that Christ is not available in the moment. He's not available to rescue me. He's not available as my source, as my strength in the moment. He's not available as my counsel. And what a horrible teaching that is, that is so rampant in the Christian world today. And it's real simple logic here. I mean, what is it that caused Adam and Eve to fall and to, you know, to lose God's presence with them in the way they had it before? It was their sins. And then, you know, what was it that caused Jesus to say, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Well, it was sins. And then what's the only thing today that could cause us to lose the presence of God? Well, theoretically, it would be sins. But then you say, well, what did Jesus do with your sins? Well, he took them away as far as the east is from the west. He remembers them no more. They are forgiven. They're forgotten. So that's why he'll never leave you, never forsake you. And, you know, I know there's this fellowship doctrine. People say, well, you're still saved. You just lost fellowship. Well, when you look at fellowship, it's never spoken of in that way. I mean, you're either in fellowship and saved or out of fellowship and lost. But you don't bounce in and out and in and out of fellowship over and over again. And I think that's really important to understand, that he never leaves me means he never leaves me. So he's available. He's my counsel. He's my guide into all truth. And I need him more than ever when I'm being tempted. So the idea that he just bails on me or goes off in the corner and says, "Get your act together," what an abusive doctrine. And the truth will always set us free.
Yes, it will. And I know you and I have spoken quite a bit about this swivel chair theology.
Yeah.
And that just ties right in, that every time we sin, God turns his back on us. Well, that's just hogwash. I mean, there's no rhyme nor reason for that other than our own personal feelings. And we think that's the way it is just because of our own guilt and shame. But when did we ever come up with good theology using guilt and shame as the source of it? We have to go to the cross. We have to go to what Jesus has accomplished for us. That's where we're going to find truth. And boy, he's attached himself to us. He's identified himself with us through his death, burial, and resurrection, so much so that we're now identified with him and all of those things. We've been sealed. We've been marked out as one who belongs to him. We're genuine. We're authentic. We are the real thing because of the work of Jesus Christ. And we can go to him in our time of need and receive grace and mercy. He's always there for us. We need to rest in that. We need to believe it. And if only more Christians would believe that truth, I guarantee you it would change the way we relate to one another. It would change everything. But it starts right there, resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Let me give our listeners some permission to rebel. If you think that God is the way he has been portrayed to you, in your own heart, in your own mind, you know that is ridiculous. Don't waste one more second worshiping that God, because that God is false. That God's no better than you and I. But if you've heard the truth about Jesus, that's someone you can put your trust in. Don't waste your time on this false God, this God that is really looking to kill you rather than to save you. Come to Jesus and find the peace you need.
Absolutely. Friends, I want to remind you that every Friday for a while, we'll be addressing passages of Scripture that are troubling to many believers. It's Hard Passages each Friday on Basic Gospel. And if you missed the previous Friday's Hard Passage editions, you can find them in the radio archive at basicgospel.net. We hope you'll join us every day on Basic Gospel. And if you have a particularly troubling passage, drop it to us at bob@basicgospel.net. That's bob@basicgospel.net. Once again, we're only 3 days away from the end of our fiscal year, and we seriously need you to help step up and meet these needs that we are facing as we approach the end of our fiscal year. Click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742 and say thanks for your help this month. We're going to send you our new DVD or CD, your choice. It's called The Real You, and it's all about your identity and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.